Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2019. It's my official duty to welcome you into episode 78 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City, and also welcome to the eighth floor of this Marriott Hotel in downtown Tampa. I am on scene helping our great Blue Jackets writer Brian Hedger and columnist Michael Arias and photographers Kyle Robertson and Adam Cairns covering the Columbus Blue Jackets as they endeavor to win their first playoff series in NHL history, and was here last night for a pretty ridiculous 4-3 comeback win in game one against the supposedly unbeatable Tampa Bay Lightning. So I tell you all that by way of saying this is coming to you on location. Didn't want to let the opportunity go by to get a podcast out there, because yesterday before I hopped on a flight to get here, I was at Chris Holtmann's off-season or end-of-season sort of wrap-up press conference. So there's a lot to dive into here. We actually have a couple things to talk about. And I keep saying we're going to have that look-ahead podcast. So we're going to look ahead to maybe doing that sometime next week, because we have some sort of here and now stuff to handle. And I've written some of this already for BuckeyeExtra.com. There's going to be a lot more coming in the next few days. I feel like I came out of there with five or six different stories to write. So hopefully you view that as a good thing. And hopefully that's, you know, you're clicking and reading and interacting, letting me know what you think and what you want to know. But there's a lot to get into from yesterday's press conference. I mean, Caleb Wesson putting his name in the NBA draft, but is expected to return for next season. We'll get into that. How they might try to replace Mike Scroggie on Chris Holtmann's coaching staff and what he said about that process, what they're looking at as far as trying to bolster that roster and still add to it between now and next season. We got some health updates on Kyle Young and sort of how the team is in general. Talked about watching the NCAA tournament and what it's going to take for Ohio State to get to a level of a Virginia, of a Texas Tech, of a team that's knocking on the door to a national championship game. There was a lot to talk about, and so we're going to get into that here, and then I'm going to head out to Tampa Bay Lightning interviews here before long. So I'm going to try to keep it a little bit succinct, but I don't have a full script out ahead of me, so we know how this often goes, where I start to ramble and then suddenly it's running long. So I'm going to do my best to keep this on point, so bear with me. Want to remind you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast, and that way you won't miss anything. Like I said, I'll have something else sometime in the middle of next week. We are coming to you once a week, at least every week during the off season, so be prepared for that. If you're subscribed, you won't miss anything. It pops right in your phone, tablet, whatever. And if you would, favorable reviews, comments, 5-star comments are greatly appreciated. So, like I said, we got a lot to get into, but first, check this out.
You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. Rosati Windows believes the right way to do business is really pretty simple. You have to be honest, you have to have integrity, and you have to care about what the customer is telling you and respond accordingly. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he trains all of his employees on the principle that the customer always comes first. Everyone who works at Rosati Windows cares about what they do and the product they put out, from sales through manufacturing to the installation, and all the way down until when they peel that last piece of film off the window. They are not going to leave your home until everything is right. It's this sort of commitment that Rosati Windows can proudly stand behind a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business.
All right, and we're back. So the first thing to go over is the fact that, yes, Caleb Wesson has added his name for consideration in the 2019 NBA draft. Chris Holtmann announced that yesterday. I'd heard that was likely. I had not heard that it had actually taken place. Chris Holtmann said it was roughly a week prior where he kind of started that process. So he's going to go through it and retain his eligibility. And I've immediately gotten some pushback from people about how Ohio State should want four-year players, and if you're doing this, this means you're not committed to your teammates and things along those lines. And I had hoped that we were maybe past that as a collective by this point, because it should be obvious by now that there's literally no downside to doing this. You can have workouts, you can get NBA feedback, you can get, it's always nice to have a new set of eyes on what you can do and what you can't do. And sometimes for a player, hearing it from an NBA talent evaluator can mean as much, if not more, as hearing it from the same coach you hear it from every single day of your collegiate career. So, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious that if you look at where he is, where his game is right now, and even what his goals are going forward, that, I mean, Caleb Wesson, I would say with 99% certainty, will be back next season. And I don't think Ohio State, I don't think, is really putting in any major contingency plans for, well, what happens if Caleb goes pro? I don't see him on any mock drafts. He's still got, his game is still growing. His game is still developing. He obviously took a significant step forward this year, but there's still a long way to go if he wants to be an NBA type of player, which he does. And so in and the story that I wrote for the Dispatch on what day was it? That was Wednesday. Yeah, today's Thursday. Wrote this on Wednesday. I had some stuff in there from a really interesting conversation that I had with Caleb at the beginning of the season, where he talked about a four-year player and where he wants to see his game grow, where he wants to be by the time his Ohio State career is over. And he said when he eventually gets to the NBA, he wants to, quote, be ready. I don't want to have to sit out a year. GMs are telling me we're going to have to work you out for 2 to 3 more years. I want to be able to go in there and say, you can start or you can do what you want to do. He said, I know right now there's 2-year, 1-year players. That's fine and everything. But a lot of people are saying they're not ready to play right now. You don't see them on the court. They might be posting pictures on Instagram in a uniform playing G League games. But I want to be in the NBA. I don't want to be a G League player. So again, I don't see any, there's no indication to me that this is Caleb being anything but firmly committed to Ohio State and taking advantage of a rule that gives him an opportunity to get more feedback. This is, I mean, honestly, I feel like every player in college basketball should do this. There's literally no downside to it. The rule did tweak a little bit this year where you can hire an agent to sort of help you through this process a little bit. If you decide to return, you obviously have to terminate that relationship with that agent. Chris Holtman said that they've got a staff member that's working with them on all that, making sure that nothing happens that would jeopardize his eligibility going forward. So I think you would expect that he will go through that process and get some feedback, and then eventually he'll be back at Ohio State for his sophomore year. I mean, Chris Holtman said he made really significant strides from 1 year to the next, significant improvement in growth. He said for him that he understands it's got to continue to happen, but I support him going through the process and the feedback he's going to get. We'll see together what it looks like for him. So again, I think that anybody that's criticizing Caleb Wesson for this decision just needs to understand the rule, needs to understand the situation and realize that there's literally no downside. This will only help Ohio State. This will only help Caleb, and look forward to whatever sort of feedback he gets and whatever opportunities this might open up for him. So good luck to Caleb on that. So that's bullet point one. Bullet point two, obviously they're still minus an assistant coach at the moment. So that was my first question to Chris Holtman, was sort of how do you go about the process of filling both a roster spot and an assistant coaching spot where you're down a man right now. And he said, you know, they've had to, as far as a staff, I've been in a position where these last couple of years I've expected that. You're mindful of that in terms of building relationships with guys that you feel like could be potential replacements. Having said that, I'm not close to making a decision on that yet. So yeah, they don't have a guy in mind, or they don't have a guy that's a done deal at this moment. The plan is to have somebody in place by the end of the month when the first AAU weekend recruiting period opens up. They're down a man right now, and so Mike Nettie, who's a special assistant to the coach, is handling a lot of Mike Schragi's vacated responsibilities, or at least as much as he's allowed to. So he's obviously a candidate for the job. I would peg him as probably the favorite at the moment. But Chris Holtman also did mention Scooney, obviously director of player development for the last 2 years, Ohio State legend. He's obviously, he is a candidate. It's interesting, though, when you look at some of the things that Holtman said as far as like what they're looking for. And he said, I'm looking for someone who can bring a level of experience in recruiting as well as on the floor coaching, and who's shown the ability to do that effectively. And he pointed out that, I mean, Mike Nettie spent multiple years, he was with him at Gardner Webb, and then he was an assistant coach at East Carolina before he came to work for Holtman at Ohio State. So that's a factor. And like I said, Scooney, he did mention Scooney as being in the mix. I'm looking for this one specific quote right now. And again, this is the best part about not having a script in front of me like I normally do, but basically, just that it's important to have experience actually coaching. It's important to have experience actually on the road, and those are big things that they're looking for. And so, like I said, I would sort of give Mike Nettie the edge because he does have that in his coaching background. I think Scooney will obviously get there, and he will have that experience, and I think he'll be a fine coach. Mike Nettie has more experience at the moment. I do think there was an assistant coach at Nebraska last year who was an assistant for Holtman at Butler, who went to Nebraska to get a job as an assistant there, and then obviously they did not retain Tim Miles. And so Michael Lewis is his name, and I do think that he would be a potential candidate because he has experience working with Chris Holtman, and he has done it at a very high level and has recently been a very high level coach. He was like the highest paid assistant under Tim Miles' staff last year, so I would think that he might be a candidate. I guess I don't know that for certain, but when I start looking at other names where they might look like outside of just within the program, I think he's probably a candidate as well. So yeah, they want to have somebody in place theoretically or hopefully within the next roughly 2 weeks or so. So stay tuned on that. We'll keep you posted as things develop. So that's where they are in that process. Next question was, how do you bolster your roster? Now, obviously, you lose Jaden Ledee and you lost Micah Potter at the beginning of the season. So it's not really a surprise that they're looking to add someone who can be a backup for Caleb. So that's obviously a priority for them. Holtman said, They're not looking, even though they have two roster spots available, they will not add two guys who will both be eligible to play next year. Holtman likes to have a guy in his roster who is a transfer, who's sitting out a year. It was C.J. Walker last year, and I think he's going to have a really big season for Ohio State next year. But that's something that he values, because you can't really, if you have 13 guys in your roster who are all on scholarship and all are eligible to play, you're not going to keep everybody. You can't keep everybody healthy. Are not healthy. You can't keep everybody getting the minutes that they want. You're going to have to deal with all kinds of issues that will crop up from that, and that's how you will lose guys. And so that's why I said he likes to have some, you know, like a guy like CJ who sat out last season will play this year, play an important role for Ohio State. Holtman said, who we're going to add in terms of our roster that's still fairly fluid right now. We're looking for an interior backup guy for Caleb. We could also potentially look at another position, whether that's a versatile wing / forward, I don't know. So that was kind of interesting because I feel like they have to add a big man. I don't know if it is in their best interest to add a wing or a forward at this point, just given the depth chart as it stands and given what they have coming in. Seems like adding another wing player, it might get a little crowded out there, and they still have no real backup for Caleb. So obviously the two names that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now are Ibrahima Diallo out in California, who would be a freshman, and then Daniel Giddens, who would be a graduate transfer from Alabama. Things were really hot with Giddens as recently as last week when he took his visit to Ohio State, and it went very well. And I thought that it was possible there would be a commitment by the end of the week even. I do think that there's a feeling on the coaching staff side or on Ohio State side that they still want to maybe get to know him a little bit better. I mean, if I've learned a few things about Chris Holtman, say he doesn't want to rush into a decision, and he wants to make sure that he understands a player and make sure it's a good fit before they really try to add somebody to the roster. So I think that might be in play here. I think they might just be trying to get to know him a little bit better. So I don't think that either of those recruitments are dead in the water or anything like that. I just think that it's kind of a wait and see process. And I mean, if I had to guess right now, I would say you're more likely to take a Giddens than a Diallo, because Diallo is definitely a project and in an ideal scenario would redshirt. I don't know if there's a scenario where they take Giddens and have him play and take Diallo and have him redshirt, mostly because I don't know if Diallo would want a redshirt. Most kids don't want to come in and redshirt as a freshman, so I don't know how likely of a scenario that is. But I would wager that right now, Giddens is more ready to handle 10 to 15 minutes of being Caleb's backup and being physical and being aggressive and kind of throwing his weight around and his body around. I would argue that he's probably more ready to step right in and accept a role like that than Diallo. One thing I neglected to mention earlier when we were discussing Mike Schrage is that Chris Holtman did say that he said at the beginning of the – or after the season ended, he said, you know, it was – he thought that they could have two – they could lose a coach or two. And he said that very nearly became the case. And so that was interesting to me because that tells you that someone else was close to another job. And I've heard that Ryan Peden was down the road pretty far for at least one head coaching job and ultimately did not get it. But it's interesting to think about that right now, that as they continue to build this program and try to move things forward, that they could potentially be replacing two of their three assistant coaches. And that would be, I mean, it's a reality of the coaching world. And there's certainly, you know, you celebrate when a guy gets a head coaching job. But that would have been hard for Ohio State. I mean, this is a great recruiting class they have coming in, and those guys have both done they've done some heavy lifting as far as helping build that. So that would have been tough. But it does sound like, based on what Chris Holtman said, that the rest of the coaching staff is expected to remain in place as they continue to try to add somebody. Two other things that Mike Schrage mentioned. I did watch his first press conference when he was introduced on Monday, and I wrote about this on BuckeyeExtra.com, but he said that North Carolina was really special to him. Both his kids were born there, and he was married there. So he joked that he took as many he took more photos the morning of that press conference than he did on his wedding day. So I thought that was pretty funny. And he also mentioned that someone asked him a question about going from being the assistant during a game when you really can't say maybe as much to the officials as you want to being the guy who's, you know, yelling at the officials and is obviously in charge of everything on the bench. And he said that in both NCAA tournament games this year for Ohio State, he received warnings from the officials for chirping at them. So I thought that was, I didn't know that. I don't remember that happening, but I thought that was funny. He definitely apparently was had a few things to say about how those games were being called, and the officials let him know about that. So something else that got brought up a couple of times, the fact that these teams that won the national champ or that were playing for the national championship were very defense laden teams, teams that you know, there are, you know, DeAndre Hunter at Virginia is a lottery pick, and I think Jarrett Culver at Texas Tech is probably a lottery pick or a first round pick. But that these were teams, and Holtman was asked about that and about what if that's sort of a blueprint as far as trying to build a national championship contender team. So he was asked about, you know, the sort of the big picture of defense in Virginia and how they play. And so he was asked, you know, are you watching those teams and thinking that could be us eventually? And he said, yeah. He said, you really can't sleep when you think about that. It dominates your thinking, monopolizes your time in the offseason. How do you build a team and roster that can best position itself for that night, for Monday night? I also realized Virginia had knocked on the doors of one seed for 4 years and hadn't gotten there. There's something to be said for knocking the door and being there enough times. That happened with Villanova a couple of years ago. It just dominates your thinking in the offseason. How do we put ourselves in position to try to get to a night like that? So then he was asked, do you feel like you're on track? And he said, yeah, I think we're ahead of schedule. Yeah, and then the next question was why. He said, I wasn't sure this quickly we would be in a position to where we would have had guys would have had early tournament success, both getting there and then competing. Now, I also know that we have a lot of work ahead of us and significant question marks about how we're going to be in certain areas given the year we just went through in the Big Ten. But I feel like our program is very healthy now. I think having had tournament experience, it gives your guys a taste that I think is important as you talk about getting to that point and hopefully moving forward. He pointed to how defensively that has to be the DNA of your team, that teams that have a defense that's in the 100s in efficiency, you're not going to go far. You know, you really have to be a top 10 defensive and offensive efficiency team if you want to make a tournament run. And so that's where they're that's where they're hoping they're headed. That's what they're focusing on. That's what they're emphasizing. Last season, Ohio State was 25th in defense and 84th in offense, according to Ken Pom. And in the first year at Ohio State, they were 15th in defense and 23rd in offense. So those are just by way of comparison there. It just shows you that obviously the offense fell off a little bit this past season. As far as the injuries go and just sort of the general health of the team, the way that the calendar falls this year, like normally the guys would have a little bit of time off, then they'd come back and work with them, and then they'd break for the summer for a little bit. But this year it didn't quite work out that way, so they kind of jumped into things a little bit sooner than normal. But the only guy that's not participating is Kyle Young. And Kyle is getting that rest that stress fracture has been desperately asking for since he suffered it mid-season. Holtman said he's been doctor's order, stay off the leg. I don't think that means he's just laying around all day, but like he's not banging in practice, and he's not, I would say, overly stressing that leg and allowing it time to heal. I mean, there's no reason to expect anything other than a full recovery and a really good summer for him leading into what could be a big, big junior year for him. But he's the one guy right now that they're just sort of dealing with that injury that he suffered during the season. As far as the 2020 recruiting class goes, he was asked just sort of about, you know, going forward, where he feels they are. Because it was sort of like if you think back to this point last year, they had a list of like 20 to 30 guys. It felt like that they were really kind of all in on to some level. And then as it went on, DJ Carton and EJ Liddell kind of floated to the top of that list and then ultimately ended up signing. And so he said he feels like they're in the same position this year where they feel positioned well at the moment, but the next 2 to 3 to 4 months are going to be really critical. He said, it's always a challenge when you have a really good recruiting class to back that up with another really good recruiting class. As we continue to build our roster, that has to happen. Now, what's that going to look like? Two guys, three guys, more than that? I'm not sure at this point. That's why it's imperative right now that we hire an assistant in short order who can follow up on some of the things that we lost with Mike Schragi. When he was asked if they would be looking for in 2020, are you looking to get the best players available or are you plugging a hole? He said, I think it's going to be a combination of both. We are looking at, you know, where do we need to help our roster? Some of that is we've got young guys who are still growing, so it's hard to know exactly. It's clear that an interior guy is going to be important. A five-man is going to be important. But after that, we'll look. We're always going to look what we need. And yet at the same time, we're also going to look at how do we continue to elevate our roster. Again, when you look at 2020, you look at this entire this team, as this roster as it's currently constructed. There's only one senior next year, and that's Andre Wesson. And so then you look to 2020, and this is going to be a veteran team with guys who have all played at high levels and have played significant minutes for Ohio State. So it's interesting to see the challenge that they have ahead of them as far as trying to recruit that 2020 class, because you've got to find guys who want to buy in and be a part of it. But minutes might be hard to promise for freshmen in that class. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for them as they try to put that recruiting class together. So having said all that, I think this is probably a good time for me to cut it before I start to ramble too much. There's going to be a lot of content. Like I said, I wrote, I think, two or three things yesterday, some of which I wrote on the plane flying down here to Tampa. Hopefully you've had a chance to check those out on BuckeyeXtra.com. Posted a little bit of video to our YouTube channel. Chris Holtmann did open his press conference. It was really emotional. He was discussing the principal at the school where his eight-year-old daughter goes, how she, the principal passed away over the weekend, and it was a really emotional, really touching scene. And Holtmann had brought a notepad out for interviews, which he seldom does, and was trying to read off of that and had to compose himself a half dozen times. And the emotion was pretty thick in there. You really could tell that this really hurt their family and really was a hard thing for them. And so I wrote about that. That's up there. Kevin Stankiewicz, one of our reporters, wrote the obituary for Chris Caleros. You can read that as well. He did a fantastic job with that. So if you want to get a better idea of who this person was, but there were some heavy things in that press conference, so that's on the website as well. You can check that out. I need to go run, get in the shower, and then head over to morning skate here. So, like I said, I'll keep bringing you stuff. I am here covering the Jackets, but I think you all know where. I got a tweet from the Nut House last night asking if I was cheating on them by covering the Blue Jackets, and I said, you guys know where my heart is. So, I'm very excited. I got a lot of basketball things to write, even though I am here covering hockey. So, hopefully, you're following us on all our channels, and hopefully, you enjoy the Blue Jacket stuff I'll be interjecting here. But never going to stray too far from the hoops. So thank you, as always, for listening, for reading, for subscribing, for emailing, for everything. So you can always send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Patrick, the Podfather, back in the studio for putting this together and pushing it out to you guys. And I will be back sometime next week and likely from Columbus. So until next week, thanks.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.